Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. I'm Pastor Tuck, and welcome to the Word at My Church. If this is your first time joining us, we want you to know you're in exactly the right place. You're exactly where God wants you to be. And I want to encourage you to share this broadcast with at least three people, because as believers, we have a mandate to spread the gospel of Christ all over the world. We are a teaching ministry with the mission to help people get better by teaching them how the word works. So go ahead and get your Bible, your notebook, your pen, your highlighter, and let's get ready to dig into God's word. But before we do, let's begin with our Bible confession. So go ahead and grab your Bible in your hand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe every word. I am who it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. By hearing its word and applying it by faith, it'll change my life. So I declare right now, from this day forward, that my life will never, ever, ever be the same again. And neither shall the life of anyone with whom I share this word. So I declare, I'm going to share this word with someone so that their life may be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Precious God, Lord, we thank you today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to just spend time with you in fellowship. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word, Father God, Lord, Lord, that it became flesh and dwelt among us. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that that word empowers us to become and to do all the things you've called us to. Father God, Lord, now we ask you, Lord, for a fresh, Lord, pouring out, Father God, Lord, revelation of your word. Father God, Lord, give us insight, foresight. Father God, Lord, that we may, Lord, may be a manifestation of everything, Lord, that you've spoken in the earth. Father God, Lord, that we may be your change agents. Father God, Lord, that we may be, Lord, the people, Father God, Lord, that you would use, Father God, anytime you desire something to be done. And Father God, Lord, we bind every contrary spirit, every demonic force, every principality, Father God, every power, Father God, that works against your kingdom. And Father God, we shall be the hands and the feet, Father God, Lord, to establish your kingdom in the earth. Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Father God, for your Son who died for us. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Father God, who stand with us. And Father God, we readily do battle, Father God, for you, Father God, Lord, as we establish your kingdom in the earth. And we thank you, Lord, Father God, for everything, Lord, that you've already done in us and through us, the grace, Lord, that you've given us, and the faith by which we live. And we thank you, Lord, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Now, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, then you know that during my sabbatical, I spent a lot of time in reflection, because this has been one of the most difficult years for me and my family. But we're so grateful to God for all that he's done in our lives, all of the strides, all of the progress, all of the growth that we have developed throughout this. So I have been taking inventory of all of the things that God has done, making note of everything we've gained throughout this process, because as a believer, this is a critical part of developing our faith. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I told you the problem is most of us never take the time to do inventory. We're so eager for the process to just be over that we never pay attention to what it produced. So the enemy convinces us that we went through that trauma for nothing. But if we're going to grow and mature, then we must take the time to recognize what we gained from the process, to notice what God was doing on our behalf, so that the next time we are confronted with a difficult situation, we can face it with confidence, knowing that God will always take care of us. See, I told you one thing about reflection is that it will cause us to recognize how much we matter to God. So last time we talked about the power of reflection. But as I was praying for what God would have me to minister this morning, he led me back to this particular scripture. Open your Bibles with me once again to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. And when you get there, look at verse 1. Psalm 116. And I'm reading this from the Passion Translation. If you were with me last time, you know, when I read this scripture, I told you this is a powerful translation and a powerful scripture in itself. Psalm 116. And it reads, I am passionately in love with God because he listens to me. He hears my prayers and answers them. As long as I live, I'll keep praying to him. For he stoops down to listen to my heart's cry. Death once stared me in the face, and I was close to slipping into dark shadows. I was terrified and overcome with sorrow. I cried out to the Lord, God, come and save me. He was so kind, so gracious to me. Because of his passion toward me, he made everything right and restored me. So I've learned from my experience that God protects the vulnerable. Oh, I need to say that again. I've learned from my experience that God protects the vulnerable. There's a scripture that says it was good that I was afflicted, otherwise I would not know God. See, sometimes the only time we can really get to know God is through that process of affliction. It's in that storm, it's in that season, it's in that trauma that we really get intimately acquainted with who our God is. He says, I've learned from my experience that God protects the vulnerable. He says, for I was broken and brought low, but he answered me and came to my rescue. Now I can say to myself and to all, relax and rest and be confident and serene. For the Lord rewards fully those who simply trust in him. Oh my God. He has rescued my soul from death's fear and dried my eyes from many tears. He's kept my feet firmly on his path and strengthened me so that I may please him and walk before Yahweh in his fields of life. Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. So now what can I ever give back to God to repay him for the blessings he's poured out on me? See, as David was reflecting on the goodness of God, looking back over all that God had brought him through, he began to recognize how much he owed him. In verse 12, David poses the question, what can I ever give back to God to repay him for the blessings he's poured out on me? The King James Version says it this way, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You see, he became so overwhelmed by God's goodness during this moment of reflection, that he's now become perplexed as to how to express his gratitude. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord? Not that he thought he could offer God anything as valuable as what he had been given. See, we can't even come close to repaying God for what he's done. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Nor will we ever do anything to deserve it. But after reflecting on the goodness of God, David found himself in the only logical position that every believer should, in a posture of thanksgiving. And he desired to give God something in return. Something that God would be pleased with as a display of his gratitude. He wanted to make a sacrifice. So he asked himself, what shall I render? Now notice he doesn't ask his wife. He doesn't ask his friends. But instead he searches his own heart as to what the appropriate response would be to all of God's kindness. See, because we are the only ones who truly know what we have received from the Lord. We are the only ones who know the troubles he's brought us through. So we are the only ones who can determine the type of sacrifice he deserves. And that's what I would like us to consider this morning as we enter into this season of Thanksgiving. I know you've already bought your turkey. I know you got your stuffing and your fixings for your gravy and your sweet potato pie and all of that stuff in your cupboard. I know your family's already got travel arrangements. I know you're preparing for this upcoming Thursday so that you can do all of the things that you want to celebrate what we call Thanksgiving. But as we're about to, I would like us to consider this morning, as we enter this season of Thanksgiving, what shall we render? Is that all right? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Because in verse 15, the Hebrew writer makes a profound suggestion. Hebrews chapter 13. Beginning at verse 15, he says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Here he suggests that we give thanks to his name with the fruit of our lips, that we continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, I understand that it's important for us to praise God and to offer thanksgiving. But why does he call it a sacrifice? Well, it's quite simple. The psalmist declares in Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So in order to praise, you must be breathing. Somebody type in the comments, in order to praise, you got to be breathing. Yeah, and we know that the Bible says in the Genesis letter that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So that means we qualify. But wait a minute, Pastor, that still doesn't answer my question. Why is praise a sacrifice? Well, a sacrifice is something important or highly valued, which is surrendered for the sake of or in exchange for something which is considered to be more important or having greater value. So praise is considered a sacrifice because in order to praise, we are required to give up that which was given to us in order to live. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. Yeah. See, in order to praise, you must first give up that which you have been given and is required in order for you to live. You see, so many believers have allowed the enemy to convince them that their praise doesn't matter, that it's not worth anything. And that's why we don't praise. We think that's an insignificant thing, that it's inconsequential, that it doesn't matter if you praise God or not. But watch this. What do you have that's more important or more valuable than your breath? I tell you what, stop breathing for a minute and find out. I'll wait. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, see, that's why we use expressions like save your breath, or with their last breath, or don't waste your breath, because nothing is as precious as breath, except blood. See, but if you cut off the flow of either, there is no life. See, if I stop your blood from flowing, you'll stop living. If I cut off your air supply, you stop living. And that's why in exchange for his blood, the least we can do is give him our breath. Yeah, yeah. Since he died for you, you ought to be willing to praise his name. And nobody believed that more than David. He wrote over half the Psalms in the Bible. As a matter of fact, we find him in the middle of writing a psalm of praise when he poses this question. What shall I render unto God for all the benefits I've received? So evidently he didn't feel that praise was enough. Watch this. Have you ever had someone do something for you that saying thank you just wasn't enough? I mean, you felt like you had to do something to show your appreciation. The songwriter put it this way. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Well, go back to Hebrews chapter 13. Because the writer does not propose that we offer God praise alone. But instead he says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The Amplified Version says it a little different. He says, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and to distribute and to contribute to the needy of the church as embodiment and proof of fellowship, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here we see that praising him is not enough. It should be accompanied with thanksgiving and an offering. Oh, I need y'all to hear me. See, your praise of God should be accompanied with thanksgiving, but it should also come with an offering, because God expects us to give. Now, I know somebody's thinking, well, Pastor, I pay my tithes, but even that's not enough. Because God said through the prophet Jeremiah, your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices do not please me. Somebody type in the comments, God is interested in more than your money. I know somebody said, did the pastor just say that? Yes, I did. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't give. Because as Jesus told the Pharisees, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Notice he says, do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as embodiment and proof of fellowship, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. See, God desires that we live for him. In other words, you ought to be looking for every opportunity to represent Christ in somebody else's life. Uh-oh, can I prove it to you? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, I'm trying to bless somebody today. And guess what? Thanksgiving ain't the only time you should be doing it. See, every day ought to be Thanksgiving. Every day you should be looking and asking yourself the question, what shall I render for all the benefits I've received. See, every day you ought to be looking for somebody's life to impact, somebody's life to change, somebody's life that you can be generous and kind to. You should never forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous, to distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as the embodiment or proof of fellowship. See, it is the very embodiment or proof that you are brothers and sisters, that we really have a relationship, that they have a common link to one another in Christ, that we have a compassion, a common passion. See, when we have compassion for one another, it says we have a common passion. See, we can't say we're passionate about Christ and we're not compassionate about the things that Christ is passionate about. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody today. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 14. Here it says, for Christ's love compels us. That word compels me, it forces us. He says, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Somebody type in the comments, we owe him our life. You see, sacrifice should be what the believer does in response to God's grace and mercy. The songwriter said, morning by morning, new mercies I see. So if morning by morning, new mercies I see, if sacrifice is what the believer does in response to God's grace and mercy, then morning by morning, new sacrifice God should see. See, when we look back over all that God has brought us through, we must all answer the question, what shall we render? What are we going to do in response to the ultimate sacrifice Christ made for us? Are we willing to live for him? As a matter of fact, Paul reminds us in the Roman letter. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And when you get there, look at verse 1. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading this from the New International Version. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. See, we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. See, in view of God's mercy, we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. The Living Bible puts it this way. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he's done for you, is this too much to ask? See, if we simply take a moment to stop and consider all that God has done for us, we must admit that living for Christ is, as Paul declares, our reasonable service. He said, it's just simply reasonable. It's not too much to ask. It just makes sense. But what does that really mean, Pastor? Well, John gives us these instructions in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. When you get there, look at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Here he says, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Now, in verse 10, he says that he defines love by the fact that he was willing to make a sacrifice for us. He was willing to give up his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's how he defines his love for us. And verse 9 says he showed that love by doing so. He demonstrated his love by doing so. Well, in verse 11, it says that since he loved us by making that sacrifice, we ought to love each other the same way. And he just told us in verse 10 that love was being willing to make a sacrifice. So if love is defined by being willing to make a sacrifice, and he demonstrated that by actually making the sacrifice, and then he says, since he loved us by making the sacrifice, we ought to love each other the same way, then we ought to be willing to make a sacrifice for one another. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in John 15. Go over to John 15. Look at verse 12. Here he tells us, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So he says, my commandment, my instruction to you is for you to love one another the same way I loved you. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. So he said he demonstrated his love for us by making a sacrifice for us that we did not deserve. So he says, my instruction to you is to love one another by loving one another just like I loved you. So his instruction is for you to make a sacrifice for one another, even though they don't deserve it. Whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. He said, greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. So when you think about what he's done for you, you ought to be willing to do it for someone else. As a matter of fact, Paul exhorts us, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. See, as we approach this season of Thanksgiving, I encourage each of you to take the time to reflect on the goodness of God and all that he's done for you. And like David, ask yourself the question, what shall I render for all the benefits I've received? Because the least we can do is praise him. But to live for him is not too much to ask. See, you ought to seek the Lord for whom he would have you to bless. See, I told you, you got to praise him. Offer him thanksgiving. Give an offering. But then you're supposed to do good. Be kind and generous to those who are in need, who are part of the body of Christ, he said, because that is the embodiment of fellowship. So seek the Lord for whom he would have you to bless. Because as the Hebrew writer reminds us, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. He said, I was in prison and you came to me. He says, and assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I told you earlier, a sacrifice is being willing to give up or give away something of value in order to gain something more important or to benefit someone else. Well, Jesus died for you. Are you willing to live for him? The question is, what shall you render for all the benefits he's given you? May I suggest to you, in the words of the Hebrew writer, let us constantly, at all times, offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, to thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous, and to distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as the embodiment and proof of fellowship, for such are the sacrifices are pleasing to God. See, if God has been good to you, you ought to praise him. You ought to thank him. You ought to give generously, and not only to the church, so that the gospel can be preached and the work of the ministry can be done, but also to those who are in need, who are part of the body, as a demonstration of the love we have for one another, because this pleases God. God bless you today. I pray this message has blessed you. But I pray that you get this in your spirit and you spend time asking God, what is it that you would have me to do? Who would you have me to bless? Whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's spending time with them, whether it's giving them food, clothing, shelter, whether it's giving them finances, whether it's sowing into the ministry so that we can give them the gospel, or whether or not we can provide material blessings to them. But whatever God tells you to do, make sure you obey, because he's been good to you. And you ought to be asking yourself every day, what would he have me to do? What shall I render for all of the benefits I've received? Because we can never repay him for all that he's done. But we should, by all means, try. God bless you today. I pray this word has blessed your heart. And if you're listening to this message today and you're like, man, I owe God my life, that's the first thing you ought to give him. Give him your heart. Give him your life. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus gave up his life for you. So in return, why don't you give him your life? And if you desire to do that today, just pray this prayer with me. Precious God, come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and I want to make him my Lord and my Savior. Be my Father, make me your child, teach me how to live for you. If you prayed that prayer, you're now part of the body of Christ, the family of believers, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop you. The next step in your journey is to find a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. And if you desire to be a part of my church, we would love to have you. We are a virtual ministry, and we have all the components necessary to help disciple you and help you grow and to be a part of our ministry. But the first step is to go to our website, www.lovemychurch.org. Click contact us, fill out a connection card. Let us know you received Christ today. And one of our ministers will get back with you, follow up with you to help you with your next steps. We have virtual Bible study each week where you can meet the other partners. You can ask questions, fellowship with them, talk about the word. You can have a community of people that help you grow. And if you're looking for a physical ministry where you want to actually be around people, we have other partner ministries we can connect you with in your area. But whatever your desire is, connect with us. Let us know so we can help you in your walk. Or just help us, let us celebrate with you. Secondly, if you've been blessed by this message today or by our ministry and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, or you just want to render unto God for all the blessings that he's poured out in your life, click the donate button, sow a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $MyChurchLynchburg, paypal.me/MyChurchLynchburg, or you can use the Givelify app. Just know that your gifts, your tithe, your offering, your seed are going to go toward building the kingdom of God, making sure the gospel of Christ is going forth, being a blessing unto others. We will be glad to be good stewards over what you sow into the kingdom of God to help grow the kingdom. This is not a small undertaking we have. We have an assignment to make sure that the gospel is made available all over the world. We're available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, LG TV, on Androids and iPhones and computers everywhere. Anywhere there's an internet signal, our job is to make sure that the gospel is being preached, that it's being taught plainly so people know how to actually apply the word of God to their lives. And that's our mandate, and we take that mandate very seriously. We're a full faith-based streaming network. We have all kinds of faith-based content, substance abuse teaching, women's teaching, men's teaching, marriage training, things that make you laugh. We have all kinds of content so that you can become a well-rounded believer. But that is not a small undertaking. So if you just want to support our ministry, sow your seed today. Partner with us. Thirdly, if you've been blessed by the message, you know somebody else who needs it, click the donate button. Share this message with at least three people. You know somebody else who needs this word. God bless you today. I pray you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Don't eat too much. Be a blessing to somebody else. God bless you. We love you. See you again on next time. Please stay tuned for our announcements.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
I told you, God has chosen us to be his change agents in the earth.
Do me a favor, y'all. Share the room, whether you're on Clubhouse, whether you are on Facebook, whether you're on YouTube.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen, and the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
You know. At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church On The Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move? Check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.